broadcasting from the UNMC College of Nursing. Get ready for RN Huddle, the podcast dedicated to bringing hot topics for and by nurses to the table.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to RN Huddle. This is your host, Heidi Keeler, coming to you from Omaha, Nebraska. And today we have a very special guest with us, and we are going to talk about some very important issues in nursing about nursing professional development. We have Mary Harper and Naomi Fox from the Association of Nurses in Professional Development. Welcome, Naomi, and welcome, Mary. We are so glad to have you on the show today.
Hi, Heidi. Thanks for having us.
Awesome. And we really want to dive into what the ANPD is, what it offers, why every nurse should know what it is and access its resources. So we're going to dive into that. But before we do, we'd love to hear a little bit more about your journeys. So we'd like to hear about your nursing experience and how you got to be in the positions that you are. And then, of course, what you do for the ANPD. So who would like to start? Dr. Harper, would you like to start?
Yes. I'm Mary Harper, and I am the Director of Research and Inquiry for the Association for Nursing Professional Development. And I've been a nurse for about 100 years. And I started my nursing clinical practice in critical care, a lot of experience in cardiac care, med-surg critical care, as well as open heart. Several years ago, I was working in an open heart unit, and I was tagged to teach the nurses on a med-surg unit how to read telemetry, because that was when we were first starting to monitor patients on outside of critical care. So I became a unit-based educator, and from there, joined a nursing professional development department and became the head of the department for a 3-hospital system. And I did a little stint in academia and decided I really didn't care for that. And so I came back to nursing professional development. I've been with ANPD since 2013, I think. And I started in ANPD as in Naomi's position, actually, as the director for nursing professional development. And then about 4 years ago, I moved into the director of research and inquiry position. And I'm responsible for advancing the science of nursing professional development, which is the ongoing education and development of staff pursuant to academic education.
Naomi and Mary, I don't think I've ever heard that version before. And to not be repetitive, because I also was in open heart and also in critical care, I became a nurse in 2008 while I was pregnant with my now 16-year-old. And that was fun to both deliver a baby on orientation and be on orientation. And so I was in critical care for several years. A position was open in the nursing education department, because while the Association for Nursing Professional Development, we coined the term nursing professional development practitioner, there are some other commonly known names, such as nurse educator or unit-based educator or clinical instructor. And I did not know about ANPD at the time. So a position came open as a critical care clinical instructor. I did not think I was capable of doing a job like this. I was what we would call a high-performing staff nurse and precepted a lot, but I decided to kind of go for it. Back then, there was a little bit, a little bit of stigmas about some of these positions, that people would go into these positions when they were a little bit later in their careers and ready to have a different kind of pace. And so I was very young in the department. And we know now that that has quickly changed, that the pace did not slow down. In fact, it was a much more challenging position than I had ever had as a staff nurse. It did not matter that I no longer did 13-hour shifts. It was truly packed, and my checklist was never done. When we give meds, you check off 2 p.m. meds are done. When you are a nursing professional development practitioner, the next day and the next day. It just keeps building up, and it's a very exciting world. And so similar to Mary, I became the department coordinator. I became an RN residency program director, and then I became the department director of that place in a large academic medical center. I also dabbed a little and continue to do so in academia in a professional development department in Rutgers University. And I joined the Association for Nursing Professional Development in 2022 as the director of education. And it's really, really opened my eyes how nurse educators, nursing professional development practitioners and specialists, and people that support the professional development of nursing and allied staff do best practice across the country. And we also have international members as well. It has really opened my eyes. It's opened my heart. My mind is blown. And I absolutely, absolutely love this community. So that's how I got into this.
That is so fascinating to hear your journeys. Mine's actually pretty similar in that when I started nursing, I had no intentions to do anything except floor nursing. I wanted fast pace. I wanted patience. I never wanted to leave the bedside. And it's funny how life just kind of takes you there. I actually fell into my position overseeing a professional development office. And so interestingly, it really does kind of mirror your journeys as well. So for all of our listeners who are thinking about, gee, I don't know if I can do this, we're going to give you Naomi's number and she can talk you through it.
555-5555.
So thank you for giving us a little background. Now we really want to dive into what you just said about the world of ANPD and all that it's doing for the profession of nursing. Mary, I love how we call your role, it has the word inquiry in it. And I just find that to be so, so spot on. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what the ANPD does and what it offers to nurses?
Well, I can speak to the research side and the inquiry side. But first of all, I'd like to say and really point out that nursing professional development is a nursing specialty. So I think a lot of times when we staff nurses move into a quote education position, we kind of feel like we're leaving a specialty. You know, I'm a critical care nurse. Well, nursing professional development is its own specialty. It has a scope and standards. It's recognized by the American Nurses Association. We have our own body of knowledge. And so I think that, you know, one of the things I really am passionate about is helping people realize that it is a specialty in and of itself, and it has specialty knowledge. So I've been with ANPD since, I think, 2004, maybe, and was on the board of directors for a while before I came into this position. But what we offer in terms of research and inquiry is evidence-based tools to help drive professional development within your organizations. So for example, we've done studies that have demonstrated correlations between NPD staffing and patient outcomes, and we've had some very positive results with those. We're currently looking at the structure of NPD departments and whether they should be centralized or decentralized, and if that actually impacts the patient outcomes within or the organizational outcomes. We've also done a lot of work recently with preceptors. And I think this is one of the biggest areas that we offer to other clinicians besides just NPD practitioners. But our focus when we started our preceptor research, which has actually been ongoing for over 4 years now, we wanted to identify the responsibilities of preceptors. And so we started with a national study of over 3,000, almost 3,500 preceptors, and identified multiple competencies. Since then, when I say multiple, 144. And since that time, we've been working to reduce that number of competencies, and we have a greatly reduced number of competencies, and now we're working on a preceptor evaluation tool, a preceptor assessment tool that can be used by not only NPD practitioners to assess preceptors, but by managers, by the preceptees. They can be used by the preceptor themselves to do a self-evaluation. So I think that's a big contribution that the research and inquiry side has added. And I'll let Naomi talk about the other things that ANPD provides.
Absolutely. And I just do want to share that I met Mary Harper attending one of the AMPD conventions when I was still employed in a healthcare organization and got her signature on my scope and standards when I learned a little bit more about what I am supposed to be doing in my role versus what I thought I was supposed to be doing. And I continue to be a total fan, and it was such an honorable moment. So I
Oh,
think
thank
one of
you.
the things that's most important as a takeaway that we provide our membership and our community is a sense of belonging. You go into these roles, you're not really sure what you're supposed to do. You think you have an idea of it. Essentially, if you are responsible for, if you work with someone that's responsible for orientation and onboarding, competency management, mentoring, inquiry, and any of those like roles, that's nursing professional development. And so our members, we have over 8,500 members, again, nationally and internationally, from critical access sites, ambulatory sites, to large, gigantic, conglomerate, academic, multi-site systems. And so we also have people who are novice, very new to the nursing professional development role, all the way to expert, have been in this role for, 20 plus years and have seen it evolve over the last 20 years of healthcare. And it's really a unique opportunity. And so we provide number one, professional development tools, which includes education, whether that's preparing them for their certification in nursing professional development. We have a lot of opportunities for certification prep courses. We have virtual symposiums. We have in-person conventions. We have workshops to develop nursing professional development practitioners in order for them to advance their own practice. We have our newsletter, NPD in Motion, where we have contributors who are in the NPD space. We provide webinars monthly. We do so many things that are surrounding and focused on educating the nursing professional development practitioner and a professional development associate, who's anyone who assists in the nursing professional development department. But another key element, I think, again, is that sense of belonging. And so we have an online community where any person who's a member can have access to and ask a question. So, for example, in my previous role as a new critical care educator, if I said, how do I teach the nurse how to do peritoneal dialysis when this is such a low volume, high risk process? And I can get access to anyone else who happens to be in a similar position across the country who also is wrapping their head around how the heck to do this and hear their feedback as to how they're doing it. And then, we chime in with best practice when applicable to make sure that everybody's doing things safely for positive patient outcomes. And so I think that's really key because often in these roles, you feel a little siloed and isolated, and you're trying to listen to multiple different people, and the demands and requests keep coming in, and you're not really sure how to balance that and what you should do first. And so taking in the inquiry work that Mary does, we develop products and try to professionally develop all of our members and keep them up to speed on best practices that are relevant and accessible.
So that is amazing. I just want to share something humorous. That's actually where I first met Mary too, was at a conference. And Naomi's description is very accurate. M Mary is so well known and so highly regarded that
Y'all are making me blush.
this podcast is like a celebrity podcast because that is Mary's stature in the ANPD world. And just to reiterate earlier, my story, you heard the words, I fell into this position. And I heard Naomi describe something similar. But you do quickly realize that this is its own specialty. It is something that you need to learn and grow and really get good at. And so we're so fortunate to have the ANPD to help us as a profession. I want to ask a question a little bit about advocacy, and then I want to go back to the preceptor work that you're doing. We know that nursing professional development, when budgets roll around, can be one of the first things that is considered for removal from the budget. And so, what work has ANPD done in this area, and what can you share for those of our listeners who might be in that position?
I can speak to that, Heidi. We have done two separate studies over the course of several years, looking at the difference that nursing professional development makes in organizational outcomes. And we have been able to demonstrate that differing levels of NPD staffing, and specifically higher levels of NPD staffing, have correlations with positive patient and positive organizational outcomes. And so when I talk about organizational outcomes, I'm talking about things like staff retention, particularly new resident retention, that type of thing. But we have demonstrated that patient outcomes, and in fact, in our last study, and the year is escaping me. I think 2022 is when we published that. We actually had almost all of the patient compare data that was better with higher levels of NPD staffing. We also examined that data based on organization size, because we know that, a small rural hospital is not going to have the same kind of resources as maybe Nebraska Medicine has. And so we were able to slice and dice that data to show basically what average levels of staffing are at each of those several different sizes of organizations. So I think that is the number one way is to use the research findings that we have. I think the other way is that we have to demonstrate return on investment for our activities within the organization. And people are like, I've got a friend, she'll like, cross her fingers and say, get away from me, when you start talking about that kind of thing. But if we can't demonstrate that our nurse residency program is increasing retention of new nurse residencies, then we're liable to be on the chopping block. On the other hand, if we can say, look, this is what we've done. We have reduced, people who leave, we've reduced hospital-acquired infections, this kind of thing. That all translates to money in terms of our organizations. And, unfortunately, money speaks. I think that we as nurses are like, well, we just want what's best for the patient. Absolutely, we want what's best for the patient. But what's best for the patient can be translated into money and dollars and cents. And so we need to be able to speak to the language of our C-suites to demonstrate our value to keep us from being cut. I have heard from many organizations since the last study that we released that have been able to add NPD staff based on the findings from our studies. So that to me is kind of like pretty exciting.
And so to piggyback off of that, some of the work that ANPD does is to help provide nursing professional development practitioners the tools that they need to find their voice, to know their elevator speech, to understand how to calculate their return on investment, to identify the outcomes to measure, and to be able to speak to that right to the C-suite, but also off the fly. If someone asks you, oh, how's this going? You should be able to keep track of that in real time so that you can demonstrate how the importance of this and the impact it's having on the nursing staff and then ultimately the patient outcomes. So one of the things that we do also is, we practice what we preach. So we just finished recently our formal every other year learning needs assessment, and return on investment and demonstrating your value is the second most needed education that our members need. And so we have a couple of academies where we teach people how to do this, and we require it in their poster presentation at our convention. We have added it to a lot of our abstracts, where if people are doing projects and change management and evidence-based practice, that they are demonstrating that as well, because as we increase the demand for that, it will show our audience how to calculate that and how to speak that and increase their competence and confidence to be able to show their value. And certainly, I think that if you can articulate that to your leadership and your peers and the frontline managers, they will understand it as well. And perhaps that could be stopped because, as you know, we're needing 200,000 more nurses by 2030. Who is responsible for training them? Okay, Mary and I and everyone else in that space. So it cannot be done if that culture continues. So speak up for yourself and advocate for yourself and know your numbers.
That's such a powerful statement, and the recognition of the value of education on not just getting a nurse to be able to practice, but all of the other organizational indicators that you just mentioned, retention, satisfaction, intent to stay. Just amazing work that you've done. And I will say that the federal government is, looking at the statistics like we are and noting that, gee, we need to do something to help support nursing in and finding solutions to the great need that is impending in the area of workforce. And one of the ways that they're doing that, Mary, you mentioned nurse residencies. The federal government has put a lot of award money into preceptorship and teaching preceptors how to onboard new nurses and how to correctly integrate students into the workforce. So I know, Mary, you mentioned doing some work in this area before, but are there ongoing efforts by the ANPD to support preceptorship?
Yes, absolutely. And let me just jump back on the value topic. There's one other thing I wanted to say is we actually have what we call an NPD by the numbers worksheet. And it's literally just a paper that you can print out or download and put in. Go find your data about, what's your retention rate, what's your what are your other metrics in terms of like your patient outcomes and that kind of thing? So that's actually, if you look on the ANPD website under resources and research and inquiry, it's called NPD by the numbers. Also on that same page, linking to preceptors, we do have the list of preceptor competencies, the evidence-based list of competencies. And we are using those competencies to develop a preceptor evaluation, as well as kind of like our latest thought is that we really need to level some of these competencies so that we can, well, number one, we have identified, I think it's 66 competencies for a preceptor. You can't go to a one-day workshop and learn 66 competencies. That's just not going to happen. And so what we're trying to do is to identify, okay, what are those key competencies, those initial beginning competencies that a preceptor needs to be effective initially? And then leveling the competencies so that we actually have a guide, if you will, for ongoing development of preceptors. Our research has shown that not only does initial education impact how much preceptors value and see the importance of their positions, but that the ongoing education, particularly around that 2 to 3 year mark, is a critical time that you need to jump back in and give them the refreshers to keep them attuned to what they're doing as a preceptor. Hopefully, in the very near future, we'll have the preceptor evaluation ready for prime time, as I like to say. And then, following that, hopefully, a guidance for preceptor development and ongoing development.
Naomi, I'm not sure if you had anything to add to either the return on investment discussion or the preceptor discussion.
The only thing I could say is that the preceptor role is extremely valued and super critical in the big picture and is an essential cog. And so, as a nursing professional development specialist who leads education for the community, it is a specific area that we are looking at to try and continue enhancing anything that we could do to help the foundation, of preceptorship, the role. And, recognizing the current challenges are that people are not staying in preceptor roles as long as they used to, and trying our best to adapt to that change in order to help everyone provide the best type of transition for new hires. That's going to really be key, to solving the workforce problems.
One of the things I'm really proud of, kind of along that vein, Naomi, is many years ago, I started really pushing the DAISY Foundation to say we need a way to recognize NPD practitioners and preceptors. And their response was, well, we have the Nursing Faculty Award. And we're like, but we're not faculty, okay? And there's such a difference. And so at the first of this year, I mean, they contacted me last year, and they transitioned their faculty award to a nurse educator award. And the specific criteria for that are that you could either be a faculty or an NPD practitioner or a preceptor. So now there's a very specific way to honor and award and recognize NPD practitioners and preceptors, both of whom are just so key. And I think that DAISY, I just thank DAISY for doing that. They really listened and met the need.
Absolutely. That was an amazing one, Mary. Super grateful.
I was going to say the same thing. That's just another example of how ANPD is looking out for the welfare of all nurses. And as a nurse who has one foot as a faculty and one foot as a nurse, nursing professional development specialist, there is a difference and there is a need for translation and there is a need for recognition of people in that space. So I think just listening to your stories, I think that we could probably have six or seven podcasts to talk about all the work that you all are doing and how you're helping the lives of every nurse, even though nurses may not recognize that at this moment in their careers. What are some parting thoughts that you have for our listeners about the work that you do and other aspects as we leave our listeners today?
I think my, of course, I have the whole research and inquiry lens, and I think that it's just so important for us to continually ask the questions and then to promote ongoing education so that then we can conduct the EBP projects, the research that we need to promote nursing practice, but also nursing professional development practice.
And the only thing I would add is to just advocate for the specialty in general and, maybe plant a seed in anyone who's listening. If you love being a nurse, if you love precepting, if you love teaching, if you love mentoring, if you're a natural leader, this is certainly a specialty that you may want to consider. It's not what it always seems from the outside. It's super exciting, it's super rewarding. As a nursing professional development practitioner, the nurses you serve become your patients. In my role, the nursing professional development practitioner members are my patients. So it just keeps going and keeps going. It's such a rewarding path. And if not, please say hi to your nursing professional development practitioner that you work with and, pass this along. Maybe they'll take a listen and feel good about their day.
Absolutely.
I completely echo everything that you both just said, and we cannot thank you enough for everything that you've done to forward the profession and to forward this specialty. I hope that you will want to come back and talk about other developments that the ANPD is working on in another episode. But we pretty much reached our time. And so, unfortunately, we're going to have to call this episode to a close. But thank you so much to Naomi Fox. Thank you so much, Mary Harper. We just so appreciate everything that you do and your time today.
Thank you. Thank you for
Thanks for
having us.
having us. It's been wonderful.
Okay, well, that's all we have for this episode of RN Huddle. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we hope that you tune in next time for another episode and another stirring story about nurses by nurses for nurses. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to RN Huddle. To stay connected, follow us on Twitter and Facebook at UNMCCNE. Or check out unmc.edu/CNE for more program information.